And good morning, church family. Woo! Full house. Uh-oh, we better shut off the light. We're strobing. Mark, would you shut off the top one there? And otherwise, I get distracted, and I'm like, oh. I don't have anything to shoot. I was going to throw something at it real quick, but okay. Well, I trust that you celebrated America's birthday and safely. And also ready for the 250th next. We've already starting to celebrate. Calm down. Okay. Now everybody's excited. Okay. Well, and maybe you didn't get one of these while I talk. Raise your hand. You could have one of these. Not that you need it. It's in your Bible. But if you need a handout, raise your hand. It's called True Freedom, Galatians 2. And some of you will want to know that I'm only going to hit like the top three. We're barely taking off. But the bottom three is what we're really going after. So keep your hand up. Ushers are coming. And if not, they're headed to the copier and they'll be right back. Okay. But it's through Christ, in Christ, and with Christ. And I want you to know there is no other freedom. We think we have freedom in this country. And you know what? We do. But the real freedom we're after is freedom from the punishment of sin. And only God, through Jesus Christ, can offer us true freedom. So that's why it's here, but we are headed to Galatians chapter 2. And hold on, I'm taking everything out of my pockets because we're about to take off. Okay. And just so you know, I was told last time I preached that I'm a straight-up preacher, and I don't know if some of you know what that means, but I didn't know what that means, but Marty South told me, and he said that means when you come to church, some pastors are trying to teach you and grow you and shape you, and that's a sermon, okay? Everybody, this is sermon and growth. Pastor Luke, top-notch teacher, sermon growing us. What I find out is I'm a preacher, so I preach the paint off the walls, and hopefully you get some on you. That was what Marty told me was the difference. I was like, okay. Thanks, Marty. I'll tell everybody so they're aware. Okay. Now, with that being said, we are taking off in Galatians, but I want you to know it literally, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus, and I hope above all, that you know him today. And if not, let today be your day to meet true freedom in Christ. He is amazing. All right, so Galatians chapter 2, let's stand as we read God's word. Galatians 2, verse 15. And this is Paul writing to the Galatian church. And he says in verse 15, chapter 2, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Verse 17, but if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful purpose of Jesus Christ, showing your love for a lost world, showing your love to sinners. Each of us are just that, sinners saved by your grace. Not anything that we have done, or Lord, we would be prideful about it. It's all you. It's all your grace. It's all your love. It's all your mercy. And it's all through Jesus. Help us today to know you above all things, Lord, and to give over everything we are to you. We love you. We thank you for teaching us how to love. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. To give just a real brief history here, this is Paul speaking, as I said, but this goes back to Acts chapter 11, where Paul is going out and preaching to the Gentiles, and he comes back and he reports, and he lets them all know, and he even spends a year with them in Antioch, the first place they're called Christians. But he's spending time there, and he's saying, hey, Gentiles are being saved by what we're preaching. God is giving them the same Holy Spirit he's giving us. And they're all like, what? Gentiles can be saved? So I want you to just, is there any born Jewish family in here? Like, you're literally, you know your Jewish descent. Okay, look around. I do not see one. So you're all Gentiles. All right? So understand this, that they're shocked that people that don't have the law, the commands, and all of the Old Testament, right, Genesis to Malachi, they don't have it, they don't know it, they don't even understand it, they don't even practice it. And God is rescuing them through Jesus. And they get together and they get a little council and they're like, well, what should we tell these new believers? What is the new law? What's the new command? What is it? And they came up with, through the Holy Spirit, right, not to eat meat that was sacrificed to idols or had blood in it, strangled, and keep away from sexual immorality. Now, other than that, they know the command is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's what Jesus told all of them. So they're sharing that one, but they're also telling us Gentiles, be careful what you eat and be careful of your sexual immorality. Now, just in giving you the history there quickly, I want you to know God is pouring out his Spirit to rich, poor, destitute, broken, Gentile, Scythian, free man, bond man, whether you're working, slave, free, anything. God's pouring it out, and I want you to know something. God has not stopped pouring it out. How many are thankful that he's not stopped? Okay, good. Me too. But here's what I want you to know, that in verse 16, we're going to kick off here. It says, yet we know, and Paul's going to say this three times, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And he also says, so we also have believed in Christ in order to be justified by faith. And he says it again, no one will be justified. And I'm just paraphrasing, giving you some of that verse in 16. Three times he talks about this word justified. How many of you know what justified? And this is the way I heard it, but I know it can stick in your brain this way, so I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to give you a little bug. Just as if I'd never justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. You got me? The only way anyone is justified in the courtroom of God is through Jesus Christ. And if you know him, you can say amen. You can encourage me. Otherwise, I'm going to keep saying it. Okay. No, you guys are just going to amen in everything now. Whoa. Calm down, buddy. Okay. Here's what I want to tell you, though. Paul repeats it three times, and I want you to know that this justified in God's courtroom is what every person in the world longs for. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has placed eternity into the hearts of men and women, and we long for that God that we know, that created us, that loved us, and the God that is seeking after us. We feel the pressure of being under his wrath on sin, under his punishment on sin. And we're born into this world that way. Okay, I did this a while back. Let me say it this way. Put some glasses on. Act like you got glasses. Hallie, come on. I'm going to call you out if you don't try it. Barry? All right, you're putting God glasses on. In Ephesians 1, God says that everyone that is born is dead and in their trespasses and sins. So God's view is looking at everybody in the world. Now, this isn't those in Christ. This is everybody born. You're born dead and in your trespasses. Welcome to freedom. We're all born into this world, no matter where you're born, and we're under that pressure. And with God's glasses that you have on, the only way to life is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in the world looking at people that are dead and gone in their trespasses and their sins, and he's raising them up to new life, but only in him. There's no other name under heaven which men are saved. It's Jesus. You want me to keep going? Look at this. In 2006, this was given to me to go through school. Encyclopedia of World Religions, Cults, and Occults. And it is full of men's ways on how to get to God. Full. I even Googled how many more religions are there after 2006 when this was printed. And it's not like it's big type. When this was printed, there is now more than 500 or 1,000 more to fit in here. And I'm just going to read you that some of these, and you might know them, and it's all of them in the whole world. Divination, magic, and all of you can kind of say, How about theosophy, the family, the children of God? Doesn't that sound like it should be a part of God? The family, children of God. The apocrypha cults, spiritualism, magic, divination. In fact, I even have a sticky note in here to remind me there's a rod and a pendulum. Anyone ever heard of this one? Yeah, I was in Dollar General, and I'm buying a soda, and the lady getting checked out has a string with a pencil hanging on it. And the worker's like holding her hand out, and she's like, yep, it's a boy. And I was just like, oh, divination for a Mountain Dew. Thank you. Appreciate you. I'm like, guess what? It's a 50-50 shot. I could tell you, flip a coin, right? So what I'm saying, this is what the world believes they need to be justified before a holy God. We make it up. We make our own things. We try and even make it sound great. There's one in here, like the God's ways of God's things. Doesn't that sound like you should? No, don't join. Okay. I'm saying it's all man's ways to be justified. God gave us one. One. And Jesus said he's the doorway. No one gets to the Father except through him. So down at the bottom, you could say through Jesus. And guess what? Paul doesn't stop there. He says it over and over. Through Christ, through Jesus, through him. Jesus is the instrument for our salvation. There's no other way. John 3:16, I know some of you can quote it. You can go look it up. John 3:16. Yes, you can quote it, but don't stop at 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:17 says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it. Did you hear that? But that through him, we might be saved. Through Jesus. There's no other way. It's through him. But it's God's great love that even sent him. And it says that he sent it to the world. This isn't believers. This isn't his church. This is people that are dead in their trespasses, dead in their sins, dead and spiritually blind. And God says, I love you so much, I will raise you from that death through Christ. That gospel is still being preached and still alive today. And here's the condemnation. It says in 19 that those who know Jesus Christ are not condemned. That pressure, that true freedom, I'm out from condemnation. But here's what should break your heart and break mine. It says those that don't know Jesus Christ, they're condemned already. Now, I don't know if you know that. That means that God has already made a judgment at the cross. That those that don't know Jesus are already condemned. They're dead. They're in their trespasses and they're condemned. What can I add to a lost and fallen world in my judgments? Did you hear that? I have the gospel of Christ, and I know all this, but you know what I could do? I can judge the world for being lost. Romans 1 tells us that the wrath of God is going to be poured out on those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We're holding the truth. This is what this looks like. All over the world is lost and dying and condemned. They don't know Jesus. And I know him and I have the truth. And I'm like, get out of here. Come on. You can't have my Savior. And judge them for being sinners. What? I am the same? The judgment is that light has come into the world, and men, we prefer darkness rather than the light. That's the judgment. If we love the light and we love Jesus, we run to him and let him expose everything in your life, every lie, every detail, every sin, every shame, everything, and be broken before him and say, Lord, without you, I'm nothing. I've got nothing. God does something beautiful when we're through Jesus Christ. And if you got your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. All right, Smith boys, you got to do a round two. These guys were here at 8 o'clock, and they came back because they loved it. Chapter 5, all right, let's switch. All right, last time you got to be Jesus. All right, white hat represents Jesus. And yes, I've done this before, but buy your own hats and do your own gospel message, all right? This represents Jesus, pure, holy, without blame. How many of you know Jesus was righteous and holy? Okay, cool. This represents sin and darkness and everything that we are. How many of you know that you're not holy? Not as many hands, you sinners. Okay. God tells us in his word that none are righteous and all have sinned. So every hand should be up, but we don't want our neighbor to know that we might have been holy. Okay, moving on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, it says, he who knew no sin, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might be the righteousness of God. That's it. Jesus, pure, holy, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle, he knew God. He is God. He came in the flesh and he said, I'll die on the cross for them so that anybody that believes will be made righteous, holy and pure. This is the sinner's lot. Only because of Jesus Christ, through him. This is called the great exchange. Anybody ever had the great exchange in your life? Did you record that time, Mom? Oh, okay. You can sit down, fellas. Okay. Okay. Where the Spirit of Jesus is, there's life and freedom. Did you hear that? Where the Spirit of God is, there's life and freedom. You, church, should be the ones full of Christ. You should be the ones full of freedom, the full of the light, preaching the gospel, teaching through Christ. And then we move to being in Christ. Being in Christ is now another level. How many of you know John chapter 15? You can check it out. I'll kind of tell you a little bit here and there. But John 15 says this, that in Christ we should abide and live. He should be the vine. We're the branches. We're plugged into Him. He is producing things in us as long as we stay connected in Him. If you're apart from that vine, guess what it says? Then you wither and die. And apart from Him, you can do, guess what? Nothing. Without Christ, without being in Him, without plugging into Christ, we as a church become, it says, and He gathers those that have fallen off. He gathers them up that do nothing, and He throws them into the fire. They don't produce fruit. The way in which we as Christians stay in Christ, we stay in Him, and through Him, then He produces fruit in us. But apart from Him, we could do nothing. Who? Church family, what happens to us if we hold this gospel? We hold the gospel of God and we suppress it from a world that's dying. See, I started to ask God that. I'm like, God, my tendency is to be a Pharisee. God, my tendency is not to let anybody else in. I've got my fire insurance from God and I'm good. But God is saying, don't stop. Tell the world. Tell everybody you meet. Jesus is the only way. I even got to go to PT and tell an 81-year-old man who's been in my life a long time, known him since I was in slow pitch softball for boys. Yeah. And every time I got up to bat, he would say, Seth, hit my car. And it was parked out there. I'd have to hit a home run. I'm like, you got it, buddy. I'm going to nail that sucker. And you know what? Every time, get up, hit my car, hit my car. And he'd tell me he'd make me a pizza. Well, to a chubby kid, I'm down. So, but even just seeing him this week, and I'm like, you know what? Jesus is the only way. That's all that could come out of my mouth. He's like telling me all kinds of things and trying to be funny, and I'm like, whatever, Jesus is the only way, right? Am I suppressing that truth? And here's, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I do. I try and bottle it down, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to say. Say something. Lord, I don't know what to do. What if I get it wrong? Get it wrong then. Your job isn't to save. Your job isn't to condemn. Your job is not even to be good at preaching the gospel. Your job is just to tell. You can't hold the gospel and not have the best thing that the world's ever needed and be silent and be still. You got to tell them. You got to tell them. Are we holding this truth and suppressing it in our unrighteousness? God says He's made it plain to us, Romans 1:19. For what could be known about God is plain because God has shown it to Him. The invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have clearly been perceived ever since the creation of the world. So we are without an excuse. Do you hear that, church? We have no excuse. And so I started to ask the Lord, I'm like, Lord, if we're holding the gospel and we're suppressing the gospel and we're holding on to it and not telling a lost and dying world, what happens? That's what Romans says. The wrath of God comes on those that are holding it, but don't give it out. I'm like, well, where else is there warnings? And in Hebrews, He warns us five times. I said four in the earlier service. I found another one. No, there was five. I just counted them wrong. Okay. See, I'm trying to be slick, and I'm still just wrong. Here's what it warns you, church. You ready? Don't drift from the gospel. Whew. Lived it. The drift is like the slow fade. The slow fade. You're not living for Christ. You're not reading. You're not praying. You're not doing the things that keep you in Christ. It's not by the law. It's not by works. It's just falling on your face and saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner again. I just lied to all the people at church because there is five, right? It's always happening. It's always repentance. It's always me in here. It's always ick. And Jesus knows it, and he still loves me. And you can slow fade so much that that old habit and that old sin and that old man that should be buried is resurrected. This is the scariest thing for any Christian, because you're no longer living for the Lord and you're no longer able to enjoy the things of the world because you have a conscience and a Holy Spirit. And you're the most miserable person that could ever hear my voice today, because you're not on fire and you're not completely cold, and you make Jesus sick. And he says, I'll puke you out of my mouth, because pick one. Get on fire, or just go away. But throwing up, it makes him grow sick to the stomach. This is Revelations. Stop being lukewarm. And I'm yelling because I know it's me. And it says that God will actually give those people up to lust. God will give the people up to dishonorable passion. God will give up to a debased mind. God loved us so much, he gave his son. Now he's going to give us the opposite. Do you hear that? I don't want it. There's defecting, there's drifting, there's disparaging of the gospel, there's declining the gospel. Failures. Where we don't even preach it, we don't even share it, we don't even tell a lost and dying world that God loves you enough to save you. We have the gospel, we have the truth, and guess what? We have no excuses. We have his divine nature in us, we have his divine power, we have his holy word. Church, what are we lacking? Nothing. He's not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and sound mind to share the truth of God. Everybody turn with me, if you have your Bibles, Romans 6. God doesn't leave us here. Romans chapter 6. Get it in your phone, highlight it, take it with you from the chair. Grab the chair Bible, Romans chapter 6. Starting in verse 4, here's with Christ, our third one, with Christ. Romans 6, 4, we were buried therefore with him. Do you hear that? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. Woohoo! Who signed up for that? You want to be with Christ? Then it says in 6:4, unite yourself with Jesus Christ and be buried with him. What part of me should be buried? We talk about this a lot. This is baptism. My sin nature, my debased mind, the passions of my flesh, my lust, my envy, my strife, all of that should be united with Christ in what? His death. Why? Well, let's read on. It's his word. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection. All of that to be said, you get to come up with Christ from the dead, from your trespasses, from your sin, new life, new creation, pure, holy, just, without spot, without wrinkle, without anything. God's righteousness walking around to this world saying,
You're dead, but raise up. The gospel's still true. The gospel's still living. But I'm to be the witness. I'm to be the light. But if I get myself back into slavery of sin, how can I preach? How can I share? You're only going to look at me as a phony. You're going to look at every church member as a phony until you get with Christ and die with him. Galatians 2:20, Paul says it this way. I no longer live. The life that I live is no longer in the flesh. It's in Christ. I've died. I've been crucified with him. We need Christians that are crucified to this world. We need Christians that are dead to this world. We need Christians that are the light to the world. We need Christians that are on fire. And God says, spread it, shine it, walk away from your sin, your lust, your porn, your everything. Die, church. Die. Die with him, but be raised with him. Tell the world we found life, we found love, we found joy and happiness and peace. There is no other way. This is hogwash. This is the truth, the life, the love. It's Jesus in you. It's Jesus in me. I'm going to preach the paint off the walls and you're going to get some on you. The last part, Galatians 2:20. I'll say it calmly. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through doing good things, then Christ died for no purpose. Stop doing things. Start being in Christ. Stop doing. Stop your list. Stop. 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 Christ came. Put him in you. And then you can reverse the list. When you get down to the bottom, when I'm with Christ and I'm buried with him and I'm alive with him, guess what? He starts to work in me. He starts to go back up the list. Seth, was that a good attitude? I'm like, Jesus, leave me alone. He's like, Seth, that's not a good attitude. You shouldn't have it. Seth, was that a good thought? Hold on, Lord, am I supposed to take every thought captive to your obedience? Yes, it's being dead to yourself and alive to him. But am I in Christ? Yes. So you're with him, you're in him, and guess what? He starts to shine through you. You see how he came? You're now like him. Romans 8 says that he wants to form the image of Jesus in you and in me. And guess what? It's ugly work going on over here because I have a default setting that isn't the Holy Spirit. I have a default setting that wrestles it out. Read Romans 8. We're wrestling, wrestling. And guess what? I pray God wins in your wrestle. And I pray he wins in mine. But church, this is the gospel. This is the truth. And this is true freedom. Let us pray. The band's going to come. Let's bow our heads. Here's the blessing. As your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ephesians 1:3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." Father, your spiritual blessings in heavenly realms, heavenly places, seem so far away. But the truth of the matter is, Lord, your heavenly realm and your heavenly place is our hearts. It's our lives. The throne room with inside of each man and woman is a heavenly realm. Bless us
with your presence there in us. And Lord, we know we can't have anything in us unless we're first through you. There's no other way. And so, Lord, we thank you for your call to be buried, to be dead, to be completely silent to everything in this world, so that we can know your resurrected life in us. Silence our flesh. Silence our passions and desires of this world, and megaphone your word and your truth, and purify us and sanctify us with your word, Father. And that word is Jesus. We need you desperately, but Lord, give us that desperation in our hearts to know that we can do nothing without you. We cannot even be justified when we stand before you. We can't even be holy. We can't even be pure. But thank you for loving the unlovable, and that's us. That's your bride. That's your church. But you don't leave us there, Father. You brush us off. You cleanse us. You wash us. You make us new. You make us beloved. To be deeply loved is something that's so hard to grasp. But Lord, your word keeps unpacking it. And so help our hearts to grab it, to grab your love, to grab this moment, and to ask you to be our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand, let us sing, and the altar is open. We'd love to pray for you, lay anything down, salvation, even just stay right where you are if you want to. Make time for the Lord. Let us worship.